Welcome to the Data Coffee Break podcast. I'm Mark.
And I'm Christian.
If you are passionate about data like us, take a seat, relax, and join us to our coffee break where we discuss all things data.
And remember, there are no filters, no PR.
It's just a real life experience. So let's begin.
Welcome everyone to this heavily influenced episode by ChatGPT.
What the heck? What is that, Christian?
Yes, I mean, I was playing with this ChatGPT chatbot that is on everyone's LinkedIn. Yeah.
I wrote a SQL statement the other day.
Really?
Yeah, I did ask.
Yeah.
So all this episode is going to be influenced by ChatGPT in this case.
Of course. We just write a podcast episode about how data influences our daily lives.
Did you find it useful?
I was going to say that. I mean, it's quite useful. It's actually interesting what the topics that it suggested. But of course, I mean, the human element of this is that it's just the outline, right? Someone needs to do the delivery. So for everyone listening today, is we are at the end of the year. We had an episode that may not be like the previous episodes. It might be more a personal episode about our daily lives. This is the time of the year that we all reflect on what happened, and we're grateful and we look forward to next year.
Yeah, and we realize that basically reflecting on what happened this year is so linked to data we have on day-to-day life, daily interactions that we have. So that's why we thought about diving in this aspect.
Yes, we are all the time influenced by data, perhaps in ways that we don't necessarily think about. For example, in my case, I get recommendations on my YouTube channel, perhaps Netflix for those that use it, or Amazon. Even when you go into shop something, you get Amazon recommendations, right? So this targeted influence data that we get all day, I mean, is something that's affecting our daily day.
Yeah, Christian. Well, in this case, it's personal data used by other companies to make us recommendation, to enhance our experience, something like that. But the interesting part is when we actually proactively collect our own data or proactively seek some data in our day-to-day life. If I take a personal example here, I'm tracking my food intake. I'm taking from one of a colleague we both had in the past. Adam, if you're here. We're thinking about you. He was an expert to track his food intake. He's still, I'm sure, most likely still tracking data on MyFitnessPal. And I started to do the same. The reason is, as I explained in some of our previous episodes, from a gym perspective and health perspective, I want to reach some specific goals. I realize the value, obviously, of calorie intake, the balance between fat, between protein, etc. And I got into the game of basically recording everything I'm eating. Okay, I'm keeping like 1 or 2 days a week where it's like nothing around the data, basically. But it's very interesting because I realize I influence greatly the way I eat, the quantities I eat, obviously. In this case, that's really linked to a specific goal or trend I want to develop in this case.
Any goals in particular? Like, do you want to gain mass, muscular, or want to reduce?
I need to eat so many calories, you cannot imagine. Like 3,000 calories at the moment. And the goal is to gain a bit more mass.
Right.
Linked to go to the gym in this case. In the past, people started to track that on a simple piece of paper or on an Excel document, and they've been able to improve their nutrition or change their biological composition in the end. Very interesting how it evolved, and now it's, I don't want to say completely automated. In this case, I wish, I dream like I just like put the apple on the scale and it will automatically log it like weight plus the type of apple and calories and likewise for any type of product. But I'm sure we will have that in the future. This is a very, very personal example and very specific, or I use data personally.
Yeah.
Do you have another one on your side?
Very recently, I moved house. It was around September. And for everyone in the UK that has been hunting for a new home or even a new flat, knows that there are all these applications such as Rightmove or Zoopla, where you have an amount of information about a property that is just mind-blowing, right? So you have statistics about how far it is from from the station for commute, the schools around it. But even though, as you mentioned, that proactive look for more data, I started looking for trends and prices, whether the price went up and down, because in the, again, in the UK, we have this situation where the house price may change from one street to another, even in the same region, or for example, police stat. I would say that you ended up doing your own predictive analytics, right?
for your future.
For your future, yeah. I mean, there are so many macroeconomic side effects that we might not be able to control at the moment, but you end up doing these predictions as well. Mm-hmm. One thing I would say about this is that even though it's not very different the way that we make decisions at the workplace, or how companies they do by collecting all this data, cleaning and so on, I was actually realizing how easy it is to get into I want to call it a swamp of information, right? So I collected so much data to the so granular level that it was very difficult to now, you know, make a sense out of it, right? So and by region, by number of crimes, by schools, as I mentioned. And my personal example of that is that I ended up doing to the point of how much it was going to cost the removals, depending on the area.
Okay, like comparing the different options. It can be very cost-driven in this case, yeah.
The interesting fact about it is how much data now we can use or we have access to actually make those decisions. That is something that I found it really amusing.
Amusing, potentially, yeah, if you spend evenings analyzing that and with pleasure. But it's true, like this is the wealth of, I don't know if we can call this one open source data. I don't know because it's government led in some aspects. But being able to make this those data sets provided by third party, and we already discussed that in the past, like, can really help to make a good decision. When you speak actually for housing decision, I was very surprised of the price differences between streets when it comes to what we call the catchment area in the UK.
Yes.
So that's basically deciding, based on your street, which school your kid will most likely go. And obviously, a lot of people are doing analysis to make sure they buy a flat, they buy a house in the catchment area for a school they have higher preference. And that's quite incredible. All the market really became skewed, I would say, towards that.
And yes, I mean, being proactive in getting this data is quite interesting. And going back to that analytics or data-driven decisions, a lot of people ask sometimes if we are measuring our podcast, Mark.
Well, we obviously are in some aspects, yeah. Yeah, we're using the platform called Buzzsprout to basically publish the podcast. And this platform is basically pushing the episode in other platforms, let's say Spotify, Google Podcast, etc. And Buzzsprout is providing some metrics, somehow aggregated, but can help us to track and have an idea of where our listeners are based from a country perspective, or what have been the most popular episode we released, what is the trend across time, and which platforms, actually, that's quite interesting, which platforms are popular. Do you already see some decision we made based on the metrics we find on these platforms, based on the number of downloads, based on, I don't know, which platform people are using, just to give an idea?
Yeah, that's good. That's very interesting. Downloads, I mean, the concept of download is when either the, depending on the platform, the episode was downloaded or listened. Buzzsprout is only capturing podcast platforms. That's the first thing, right? So what we upload to YouTube is not being measured there. So that is something to consider. But when it comes to platforms, it seems that the Spotify is the most popular one. If I put the top three is Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, right? So definitely when we advertise, we will put some emphasis on those three. And the second thing is that I haven't seen yet a signal between which episodes are the most, I'm going to air quote, popular, like the ones that it's just you and me or just the ones with the guests. I think so far what I can make out of the data is our listeners like our one-to-one sessions, right? Especially when we talk about self-improvement or careers.
Yeah, in particular, those episodes are not only targeting data people, data professionals, so it could be really a wider audience. And what I like, what I discovered, and that's quite appreciable, is seeing some very early episodes still being listened. You still see like a few downloads here and there from the very first one or number three or something like that. So interesting metrics to see.
Quick one. If you're enjoying this episode and our show, please make sure you follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Links on the description as per usual.
Also, if you'd like to grow this community with us, think about sharing this episode with a friend or a colleague interested about all things data.
Now, back to the episode.
Going into the new year, one of the things that I would like to keep track of is how I spend my time. We just released a couple of weeks ago our episode about time management. And as I mentioned, it's a special one for me because some people ask me, like, how do you manage having the podcast and work? That is one of the things that I would like to start tracking more, even with Toggle now. I'm going to see if I am multitasking that much.
Yeah. So what are you hoping to find out and to potentially improve on looking at time management?
I would like to improve the way that I am allocating some tasks so I can get more time for exercising in a better way without compromising my time at home. I am quite lucky that I have an amazing wife at home that endures a lot of of my time being either on podcast or working, but I don't want to unattend or...
A conscious decision on how you spend your time.
Yes. One of the takeaways from this episode is the fact that we live in such a different era that we end up doing decisions that, you know, requires collecting data from multiple sources, and we are way more data-driven.
Yeah, you're right. Previous generations couldn't get the same access that we have on data, so the same frequency of freshness, access to open source data because maybe it was not available. It's a trend that became more and more prominent in the last 10, 15, 20 years maybe, and not even the tools to be able to analyze themselves data. So we're really into a prime situation, let's say, for us, where we have access to so much data and we can improve our life by taking action on those data. And what's interesting is those, you know, new data-driven experience, embedded experience, where in your phone you get personalized music. In with your bank, now you get like an estimate of how much money you're going to have at the end of the month based on your pattern of spending. So that's quite interesting on that.
I think you're right. And now that you touch on the banking piece, is like how much exposed we are now in terms of our personal data, not for our data to be leaked or hacked, not only about that, but also from the point of view of how much data we actually bring ourselves outside consciously. The other day, you were talking about a TikTok trend about dating, Raft.
Yeah, the dating. So that's a friend, Archana, who told me or showed me this one on TikTok. So people are creating a PowerPoint, literally, with some data points, some charts, well organized, to be honest, very, very well made for some of them, where they're basically doing their dating wrapped 2022. So how many people they dated during the year?
Dating.
How many, I don't know what it could be like, how many people they went on to a restaurant, people ghosted them, etc. And they have like at the end a ranking of like the most strange dating situation with how many people matched to those numbers. This is interesting how people are taking the analysis of data to the next level. And all they're freely sharing that with the community. And that's the aspect which is important, the community here, where they teach other people how to educate themselves with data or to become more data-driven. Those can be example where it's about dating data, but it could be about financial data. It can be about electricity tracking. Now we have such an easy access to how much electricity we consume. Oh, I should put my washing machine during the night so I will pay less because it's cheaper, etc., etc. So coming back to the point earlier, all of that is great because you can make such valuable decision for your life on different aspects and for different timeframes.
100%. Actually, as we speak, I just received an SMS from Specsaver saying that my eye test is due. Talking about getting data push. You need to come.
Yeah.
But if you think about this episode, you might be thinking, so what? So all this data that we are collecting, it's all about how you improve making better decisions. Make your own research, not get fixated on the first data point that you get, but rather collect data from multiple sources so you can actually get, and you can influence others to make better decisions.
Yes, this is fantastic. And on more like a professional side, you can imagine in your organization where you see people who are making decisions not based on data, helping them to discover all they can leverage data from different aspects. So why not creating a community? We're speaking about the community on TikTok of people sharing their data in different aspects. But think about, or you can create a community within your company or with your clients maybe, so they can make better decision using data because they have access to so much data internally. Maybe they don't have access. That could be the problem, but they're sitting on the wealth of data for sure.
Absolutely. I think that's a good place to leave things. Are you planning to go somewhere for the new year?
So I'm going home in France for Christmas and we'll be back in London for New Year to celebrate with friends. And for you?
Going back to Mexico for the Christmas. Yeah, to visit the family. My brother might be listening, so say hi. I haven't been there for almost 20 months.
Wow.
And same as you. Yeah. That's very long. COVID and lockdown.
And you will experience most likely better weather than here.
Yes. Looking at data already, at weather. At
What are the temperatures? What is the
temperatures?
Trend?
Yeah, how much is going to be the time track and the flights and, you know, all of that we usually do.
That was fantastic, Christian. Happy holiday season to everyone. And actually, next week, we have a very, very special episode with a guest where we will speak about the data trends for 2023. So that's going to be a very exciting one for us.
Looking forward to it. Thanks for listening to this episode. This podcast represents our views and not the ones of our employers.
Our mission at the Data Coffee Break podcast is to inform you and help you grow in this always changing data field.
Follow us and get into the conversation with the community on our LinkedIn page and Instagram.
See you next Tuesday. And until then, keep your data caffeinated.